good morning. Welcome to LifePoint Church. We are really glad you're here today. Just like Ryan said, I know it was a snowy day and travel wasn't great, but you're here. We're here to praise the Lord, and I'm super thankful just to be here with you, to have this opportunity to share with you a little bit about personal ministry, one of our core values. What I wanted to do first was just introduce myself formally. Of course, I'm Mark Shields, Family Ministries pastor here. I have three kiddos and a beautiful wife, okay? And they should have their pictures up right now. My wife, we have been married for 20 years, happily married, super blessed to have three kiddos. Then you'll see my daughter, Caitlin. She is 19, almost 20. She'll be 20 next week, I believe. And she's over at UC. She's doing an amazing job being a student over there. She's an angel. She's a blessing to us. I'm super thankful for her. Then you'll see my son, Zach. He's a freshman right over here at Westerville North High School, right across the way. And he loves basketball, loves sports, and he has a heart of gold. I love being his dad. Super thankful for him. And then you'll see our youngest. That's Tyler. He is 11. He's over at Walnut Springs Middle School. Amazing young man. He's been thrown some curveballs in his young life already, but he takes it like a champ. He is awesome, and I'm super thankful to be his dad. So that's my family in a nutshell. Now, like I said, I've been married to my wife for 20 years, and the crazy thing about that is that we actually started going to church before we were married, of course, right? But when we started serving together, like right after we got married in a church, and a Lutheran church over in Reynoldsburg, and we ended up realizing that God just had something for us, wanted us to do something more, and we wanted to get involved, so we found this church called Jersey Baptist Church over in Pataskala, and we were real excited because it was new, it was vibrant, had a great choir, and you know, and God really early on just kind of welled up in my heart this desire to serve. I didn't know where to serve. I didn't know how to serve. I surely didn't think I was ready to serve in any way, shape, or form, but I was like, I got to figure out something to do. So I asked the leadership, I say, hey, where do you need help? And they're like, hey, Mark, we actually need help in the AV booth, okay? So they've got this great AV booth. It's on the second floor of the church. And, you know, when you're in the AV booth, you got to make sure that you run the slides correctly, that you, when they're doing worship songs, that you hit the words at the right time. When pastor's speaking, it's really important that you actually, when he does a reference, that you hit the right pictures at the right time. And I was really excited to do it. Problem is, I didn't mention this when I started, but I'm ADHD, okay? So when I'm in there and I'm doing all those things, if somebody talks to me or asks me a question, a lot of times these guys are amazing back here. A lot of times they will actually, like, you know, be able to block it out or listen and still do something else, not me. So you ask me a question and what I was doing, gone. I have no idea. Squirrel, I'm running, I'm chasing, what's going down? And so I did that for a few weeks. I did the training, got through the training, and then I did it for a couple weeks. And I think after I botched up the slides the second time I served, one of the pastors came up to me and they're like, Mark, you know what? We love your heart. You are awesome. You know what? Since you've learned all this, why don't you go down and do it with the kids? And I was like, okay, cool. And so they put me with the kids. And actually, that was the start of God just doing an amazing work in my heart. And I loved being there. And I was doing the AV for a little while, but I saw how God was using the leaders, and I saw what God was doing in the kids' lives. And I said, I don't want to be back pushing buttons. Would you mind if I go up there and I teach for a little bit? And they were like, yes, awesome. So I got to go up on stage and teach the kids, and I just loved every minute of it. So that's how I got involved personally in personal ministry, right? So when you're thinking about personal ministry, I know some of the things that you're thinking is, how do I get involved? Where do I get involved? What is personal ministry? Is that just serving in church? Does that mean serving in the community? Does that mean serving at my school? Does that mean serving my family? Does that count? What actually is personal ministry? And what I hope to do today is kind of explain those things to you and go through by getting to the heart of what personal ministry really is. So what we're doing is the whole church, LifePoint Church, all our campuses, at the beginning of this year, we're going through GRASP, right? It's about grasping your next step and taking steps with the Lord, okay? And so we want to make sure that we're taking the right steps and that we're growing closer to the Lord. And we have that, we want to do that in a few different ways. We want to grasp, it's an acronym. G is our gospel identity. We want to make sure that we have our gospel identity. We know who we are in Christ. R, we want to reach out as a priority. We want to make sure we're reaching out to the community, using our gospel identity for His glory. A is authentic community. We want to make sure that we're living in community with each other and we're in small groups and we're pouring into each other's lives. Those are hugely important things. And then, let's see, we are G-R-A-S, spiritual maturity. We want to make sure that we're growing in the Lord and we're getting to know Him and we're spending time in His Word. And then today is personal ministry. And so what I want to do is, this is your first point in the listening guide. This is what the Lord kind of laid on me as I was preparing, is don't serve for a fake, but serve for the treasure's sake, okay? So don't serve for a fake, serve for the treasure's sake. And what I believe is that if we can figure out what we need to serve, if we can put the treasure, the paramount thing of our lives, if we can put that always before us, then we are naturally going to worship that treasure with our lives. It's just going to be an object of our affection, right? And so whatever we treasure, we just kind of naturally serve, right? I'll give you a little bit of an example. My son, Zach, he is amazing. I love to be his dad. And he just does so many things that I'm in awe of a lot. He just blows my mind with the ways that he thinks. And I love just to be able to serve him. If he asks me to do something, I want to be able to do it. If he needs help with things, I want to be able to help him. You never have to ask me to, like, go to his game or go see him in action to do some kind of sporting event or something like that. I can't wait for that opportunity. I want to see him on the court. I want to be his biggest fan, yelling at him. I want to coach him a little bit, you know, on the side and do all those things as a father. So these are naturally ways, because I love him, I want to naturally serve him, right? So here's the thing. That's a great thing to serve your kids, right? It's a great thing to want to serve your kids. But is it the right thing? Because here's what can happen real quickly, right? So when I'm treasuring him and I'm putting him, and I really understand he's my son and I'm loving him, it's great, right? And that's like when you're a father, when your kids are asleep and you're in bed and you're like, oh, how cute they are and all that. But then they wake up, right? You know, and it's like, what is... what's going on? So my son, he ends up one night, we're hanging out, and I'll just give you the scenario so that you can kind of put yourself in my shoes. We had a long day at work, busy. We were out coaching, had some sporting events. My son is a gamer, so he gets home playing games 10 o'clock at night, okay? I am just getting ready to lay down, hang out, relax for a little bit, and get into bed, just lay my head on the pillow, oh, nice, and just take a deep breath, and then my son Zach walks in. Hey, Dad, I need some help studying. Okay, bud, okay, can we do that tomorrow? You know, I'll help you, and we'll kind of do it before 10 o'clock at night. Does that sound good? And he says, oh, but... the test is tomorrow, Dad. Okay. So why are you waiting till now? You were just gaming, right? Why are you waiting till now to study? And then he says, well, I've studied a little bit. I know what I'm doing. And then he busts out the packet. right? And I'm thinking, you know, one or two pages, yeah, like 10 pages front and back. And I start asking him questions. He knows nothing, okay? So I'm ready to get in bed. All of a sudden, my son, who is the treasure that I love, in that moment, I'm not treasuring him as much, right? And I think that ends up happening to us a lot. So what I want to do is I want to just share some scripture with you about what we need to treasure, how God's gifted us, how we find our way in personal ministry, and how do we put the right treasure before us. So if you will turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, you can look that up. While you're looking that up, I'm just going to tell you that Paul wrote to the church at Rome, okay, and he was wishing he could be with them. He wrote the book of Romans as an encouragement to them. He was saying, hey guys, I wish I could be there with you. I've heard about all the amazing things that God is doing through you, and I want you to know this. I've traveled around. I've gone to many places, and you're coming up in a lot of different ways, but I want to be encouragement to you. I want to make sure that you know exactly how God is going to use you, and I want to make sure that you know who you are in Christ. So he's given them these verses, and then in chapter 12, we come to this part, and he's talking about some spiritual gifts. So I want to read about what Paul says about spiritual gifts. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving, if the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So that is Romans. Paul is saying, hey, you've been given these gifts, right? The Holy Spirit has given you gifts that you need to use for God's glory. And not only that, but he's given you these special gifts in the Spirit that not everybody has. And he's made you in a special way where you need to exercise those gifts, because when he puts you with a group of people, when he puts you in a body, that not only do you need to serve God so that you can experience God and you can see him at work, but I've seen this many times where God puts you in that body with those gifts just for somebody else. Did you realize that? That you have these gifts, you were brought up, you have this background, God's done these things in your life, and you are the perfect person to be in this situation. Now, he might put you in a place to serve, right, where you're just, you know, you're meeting somebody at the front door, you're doing connections, or you're working in the children's ministry, but you happen to be in the right place at the right time, and you give the right words of encouragement because your gift is exhortation, and the right person hears it. Just the way God works is far beyond what we could ever think of or imagine. So we got to use these gifts of ours, right? We got to make sure that we're using these gifts for his glory and that we're doing all that we can. But here's the thing. I like to use my gifts for, unfortunately, for my sake. That's one of the points in your listening guide. I use my gifts for my sake. So I've got a gift here. And so God's gifted me, and inside is what I treasure. I wish it weren't this way, but this just ends up being a lot of my function in life. I worship these things, and God plays second fiddle sometimes. So I've got a picture of my wife here, right? I love my wife. I put her before me most of the time, right? But I'm kind of selfish sometimes, and sometimes there are some things that I'd like for myself, right? Maybe, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to say it. I know you guys are probably all going to freak out, but spiritual, or not spiritual, Intimacy, physical intimacy with my wife. I really like that, okay? I pursue that sometimes, okay? And my wife will even say to me at times, hey, Mark, you're really, really nice to me when you're in the mood. And then not so much other times. And so I realized that, like, I'm treasuring what I can get instead of treasuring my wife or who she is, right? So I got a picture of her, and then I have this Toyota Tacoma truck. And so sometimes I use my gifts to get what I want, right? I try to use my finances and use my extra time, and I don't spend tons of time, like, online looking at Toyota Direct V6 4x4 Tacomas and just let drool come out of my mouth. No, I don't do that, right? Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. But it's one of those things where all of a sudden I'm using my gifts and the things that God's given me to pursue the things that I want. And then even my job or my studies, if you're a student, right? I got a pen in here. So I, a lot of times, will use those things, my work, as a way of putting extra time in. I can always justify spending more time at work, and then my family will sacrifice because I'm using my gifts for me. So using our gifts for us, not the answer, right? Those treasures are fleeting and not permanent. So we got to make sure we use our gifts for the right treasure, okay? So then this is even more socially acceptable. Now the world would tell you, hey, you can use your gifts for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is rampant right now. This is in the culture, in the way you see it. This is the way to do it. Use your gifts, right, to serve them, right, or to serve others. So we use gifts to serve myself, not good, but we can use our gifts to serve others, right? We want to make sure we use our gifts to serve others. So I got another gift, and I want to open that. I want to use what God's given me, right? And I want to treasure the right thing. And so, you know, I want to treasure my friends and family. That's amazing. You know, there's nothing wrong with using your gifts to love your family. But what happens is sometimes that can get out of balance. And sometimes, you know, I've seen this many times where we treasure our kids and we do it so much and we look forward to being there. We want them to have the best of the best, right? That we end up actually worshiping our kids, and then other people suffer because we've put our kids first, right? Even our spouses sometimes, right? They're like, hey, your mind is always around what the kids are doing, what things. Do you ever think about me? So, you know, we can use that, but also our friends, right? We want to be there for our friends. We want to be wherever our friends need. But a lot of times our gifts, even though these are really good things, these are awesome things, we can end up making that treasure worth more than it should be, right? And then one of the other things that we treasure a lot of times is serving in the community, okay? You want to spend your time doing a lot of the things for the community, and that is really good, but sometimes it gets overwhelming, right? Or nobody sees the fruit of what you do. And then here's the big, the final, the coup de grace. Like, you literally, you're nailing it. I'm telling you right now, you are killing it if you're serving at the church, okay? Like, if you're serving at the church, you are amazing. You're awesome, right? No, I'm not going to say that, right? Because even if you're serving at the church and you're doing all these things and you're using your gifts to serve other people at the church, but you are not putting the treasure in its place, you're not treasuring the right things, then you end up serving for others' sake and not yourself, or not the Lord. And so you're back in there and you're frustrated because you know, there's maybe too many kids, and not that that ever happens or anything, too many kids, not enough leaders, or you're frustrated because nobody sees the things that you're doing, and all of a sudden you're serving in church, and you say you're serving for the Lord, but you're serving with a discontentment, and your heart's not in the right place because you're serving for the wrong treasure. So the next scripture I want to point you to is Matthew 13:44. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all he has, and he goes and buys that field." So what is that thing, right, that you've used your gifts for, the gifts that Paul talks about? What is that thing that is worth so much, right? What is that thing that you worship? And I'm not talking about just the thing that you want me to see. And I'm not talking about just the thing that I want you to see. I'm talking about the real treasure. What do you really treasure? Because people see the real thing. People see the real you, and they know the truth behind what you do. And this weighs on me big time because I desperately want my kids to see a dad who serves and loves and puts his effort to the real treasure. I don't want them to see me serving a fake, because nothing else in life deserves what the treasure is. And this is the last point on your listening guide. We have to serve for Christ's sake, not for my sake, not for their sake. We serve in what we do for Christ's sake. And that means every single part of our lives. Okay? When you serve in the PTA, you can do that for Christ's sake. When you serve at your job, when you are at your job, that can be a platform for you to share the gospel. You can serve at your job for Christ's sake. And if we did that, could you imagine the impact we would have? If we really did treasure the treasure like it's supposed to be treasured, if we would treasure Christ, the foremost object of our affection, if we really, really were the real deal, it would impact so many people. It would impact this church for sure. But it would impact this whole community if we could serve for Christ's sake. And so I just want to be honest with you guys. I worship and I serve just about everything else, 99% of the time. I'm going to tell you a story. And this will just let you little in onto the pastor side of who Mark Shields is. Okay? So I have to ask the Lord to give me opportunities, because I don't want my kids to see a fake. I don't want them to see me saying, "Hey, look at this, read this, see me serving all these people, see me doing all these things in Jesus' name." But then they know the real me. They know the one that yells at them. They know the one that doesn't treasure them all the time. And I'm like, I don't want them to see that. Lord, make me into a man that's real. Make me into a man that is true. Make me into a man that puts you first. And so I asked for the opportunity. I said, "Lord, please give me an opportunity, but I know me. And when the opportunity arises, I'm not going to want to do it. So I'm going to need you to push me, okay? And then after you push me, I'm going to need you to give me the guts to obey you. Because over and over again, I don't do those things. I need you, Lord. I need you to give me this opportunity." And he did. He does it over and over again. He's so faithful. Okay? And I'm going to tell you about the opportunity he gave me. And then we'll close. So I prayed this prayer on Christmas break. I said, Lord, I want to spend time with my kids. I want to study your scripture. I want to teach them about Jesus and when he came to this earth. But I really, really want them to see the real deal. So can you put me in an opportunity where, like, I can't fail? Can you put me in a place where, like, I can't back out? And then can you give me the ability to serve you? So we go out one night. We go out as a family to go see Star Wars, right? I mean, that was the big hot movie. Side note, complete side note. Next week is now playing the movie series that we're going to do. And we'll have popcorn and candy. It's the perfect time to invite friends. It's awesome. Okay, so now playing is amazing. I love it every year. I can't wait to see who comes. But we were at the movies, we were watching Star Wars, and I was just thankful for an opportunity to spend with my family, okay? I had no idea what the Lord had planned for me that night. We were up at the Marcus over there in Worthington, and we're hanging out, and ends up being that we're watching the movie, everything's going good, and we're heading home, heading back to Westerville. So we get off of 23, we head, east on 270 back to Westerville, and then there's the 71 north-south split off to the right. And all of a sudden, I'm driving down the street, and I see this car, fishtail, and then I see this car just shoot completely off the road because it was snowy and icy, and then it flies. I mean, they're going 65 miles an hour, and it flies into the berm, and it lands in this ditch, and I see it doing pinball things in the ditch, and I'm scared, and I'm like, Lord, Lord. I go, oh, my gosh, the whole family's in the car. I'm like, look at that. They're, God. And then I'm dead stopped in the middle of 270 watching this all go down, and cars are, and Colleen's like, what are you doing? You cannot stop in the middle of 270. So I'm like, oh, man, we got to see if they're okay. We got to check on them. So we pull over to the road. We pull over to the side of the road, and I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just like, Colleen, call 911. I don't know what we're going to see, but we got to go help them. We got to get out there. We got to see what's going on. So I hop out, freezing cold night, tons of snow. I hop out, and my son Zach hops out with me. Okay, and we're running through the snow, and I'm telling you what, I am scared to death because I do not know what I'm going to see, but I'm praying the whole time. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm going, so please be with me. And I'm running through the snow, and then I see this car up on its side in a ditch, and I run down into the ditch. I get down into the ditch. I pull the car door open, and I see this girl. And she's got her hands on her face, and she is just weeping, and she is scared to death, but she is completely fine. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are amazing. You are awesome. And so I'm like, are you okay? I pull her out of the car. My son Zach is up at the top of the ditch, okay? We're in a ditch, and I grab the girl. I help her out. She is shaking with fear, so I literally have to push her up. Zach grabs her hands, pulls her out of the ditch, okay? And then we're freezing, so we say, you want to come to the car and warm up for a little bit? And she's like, yes, yes, yes. So we get into the car, and here's where God just shows up. We're in the car for a few minutes, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know this is you. This stuff does not happen to me very often, and so I need you to tell me. And then he says, I want you to pray, but I'm like, no, Lord, that'll be awkward. I don't know who this person is. Rapid fire, you get all the excuses why you shouldn't do what he just asked you to do. And then the Holy Spirit speaks through my son. And my son, who is out there in the snow with me, says, Dad, I think we need to pray for her. The son says to the pastor father, Dad, I think we should pray for her. My son called me out. And I was so thankful. I knew once he said it, I had to do it. And I prayed for her. And here's the crazy thing. I had no idea what God was doing in that moment. No clue. But later that night, my son walks up to me and he said, Dad, you just ran into that ditch. How did that feel when you pulled her out, when you opened that door and you saw her? "Dad, didn't you look so cool? You had to feel like a million bucks." And I literally was like, "Buddy, I wish I could say I did, but I was scared to death. And nothing in me deserved any kind of glory. I was just there, and you saw Christ work in me because I prayed that prayer and he answered it. So you think I'm cool? Jesus is the one who set that whole thing up, and I just got to be there. He pushed me and he used you to push me, and it had nothing to do with me." That's the truth. I don't deserve any glory. It was all him. And so here's what I want to wrap up with you guys today. So the treasure, the real treasure, just like it says in Matthew, is worth giving everything else for. Worth everything else for. And if we were a people who did that, could you imagine? So I use these gifts because the Lord gave me this image and I wanted to share it with you. But he gave me this image like a daydream as I was preparing for this message. And there are these people and they're standing in two lines and they're standing at the gates of heaven. There's two lines. And I was thinking about the sheep and the goats and how God says he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and some are going to get in and some are not. And I was thinking about the gifts that we have. And then I was thinking about these two lines. And in my mind, the Lord had given me this image of one line filled with people with these gifts, right? They're filled with people with these gifts. And then there's another line right next to them. And these people got nothing. And the people that got nothing are looking over at the people with the gifts, and they're like, "Oh, man. There's the gate right there. Oh man, we're in trouble. I don't know how this is going to end." And the people with the gifts, with the treasure that they have, and the treasures that they have, the gifts that they've been given, they're real secure in it. They're secure in what they're wrapped up in at that time. They're secure in their religion, and they're secure in their treasure that they have here. And they're sitting here, and then one by one, they're walking up to the gate with their treasure. And these people are walking up and they're saying, "Here you go, Lord." And the Lord's saying, "I never knew you. Turn away." And they're like, "What? What do you mean? My son's not in there." And then there's this other group, and they got nothing. And they're standing there at the gate, and they're sweating bullets. And the Lord says, "Why should I let you into my kingdom?" And they said, "Man, you shouldn't. You know who I am. I don't even know why I'm here." And Jesus is going to reach out to them. And he's going to say, "Well done." They're going to hear. He's going to hear the words. They're going to say, "All I have is Jesus. I have nothing else. Nothing else to give. This is my only hope. Please, all I have is Jesus." And then Jesus is going to embrace them and love them and say, "Look, the great is your reward. The great is your reward." The Lord gives us every gift. Anything we have to offer him is nothing to him. The only thing that matters in this whole entire life, the only thing worth giving everything for, is Jesus Christ. You have to know him. If we had people that really knew him, that really made him the treasure, could you imagine? Could you imagine? In that kids' area, there would be people, there would be a line of people saying, "Mark, put me in. Please, I want the opportunity to tell those kids about Jesus. I want the opportunity to love on them like Jesus loves them. There would be a line. What's wrong with us? We're sinners. We need a Savior. And we got one. Would you guys join me in a word of prayer? God, you are amazing. You are mighty. You are the only thing, you're the only treasure worth giving everything else for. And Lord, I know that there's a people here and they don't know how to serve you. They don't know where to start. There's a people here that don't feel like they're enough. There's a people here that feel like they just need to know a little bit more before they do this or that. And I know you, Lord, and you're like, no, no, no. You come now. You come as you are. You come just as you are. I love you right now. With all the mess, I paid the price on that cross. I stretched out my arms and I was nailed to a cross, and I paid the price for all the fakes. I paid the price for all your mistakes. Just come to me. I've got you. I'll never let you go. I'm the only one worth your time and effort. Let me be your treasure. I'll never let you down. If that's you today, and you've never made him your treasure, I ask you to do that. Just say, dear God, I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm not enough, but I need you. I need you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my treasure. I've messed this thing up enough. I'm done with that. I need you. Make me yours. Make me yours. And Jesus says, I'm with you. You're mine now. You're mine. I'm never letting you go. Pray that prayer. If tonight you've realized, or this morning you've realized, that you've been serving every other treasure but the right one, and you're done with that, there's some men and women out there in the back, and they would love to pray with you. If you've given your life, it says in God's word that you're supposed to tell somebody, and there's people in the back that would love for you to tell them. So literally, I pray, God, that you would just move your people, that they would just be obedient. And I know you're scared, but who cares? Jesus is worth it. We love you, God. You're amazing. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.